Morning. Today's daf in Bamitzia is Samech Gimel. Thank the Lubin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is one of the definitions of Maslibe Gabriel Bashmuel. We are in Samech Bezim and Bez. We're at the two dots towards the top of the Amud, starting with the words, starting with the heading of the Mishnah. Vechi, right, Ketz Alakach Imenu Chitim Bedinazav, Hakur Vechain Hashar. Okay. So at this point in time now, we're going to really feel the fifth parak of Bamitzia. This is where it gets exciting. If you take a look back at the Mishnah, we're going to remind ourselves what we saw back in the Mishnah. The Mishnah gave us examples of Ribbis Daraisa and Ribbis Darabban. Ribbis Daraisa, that's easy. Okay, and I mentioned already a couple of times, if it were just for the Ribbis Daraisa, we would have an easy time understanding the Isser Ribbis. Can't lend money with the expectation that you're going to get paid more than what you lent out. Okay, that's good. The Mishnah, however, tells us that there are also forms of ribbis derabbanan. There are transactions that look like interest-bearing loans, and even though they're not actually interest-bearing loans, but because of its resemblance to an interest-bearing loan, so therefore the Chachamim prohibited. The Mishnah gave an example. So again, I've done this yesterday, I'm going to do this again today. Just going to keep familiarizing ourselves again and again with the case of the Mishnah, as it really becomes the backbone of this entire discussion. So let's take a look back at the Mishnah one more time. Let's go over the case in the Mishnah again, and let's really drill this in. The Mishnah's example, I'm reading from the Mishnah itself. The Mishnah's example, Lakach Emenuchitim Bediner Zahav, Hakor. So, Vechein Hashar. So the Mishnah describes a scenario in which what you do is you buy a kor's worth of wheat, and you do so with Dinar Zahav, with a golden coin. A golden coin is equivalent to 25 silver coins. And Vechein Hashar in the Mishnah says, and that was a going market rate. And as we'll see time and again over the course of today, that's an important detail, meaning that there is an understood market value to it. In the time of the Gemara, like an announcement being made, or an understanding that was made amongst the buyers, that this is now the given rate. Okay, it's not much different than when they announce what the price of the stock is. Although, you know, it obviously fluctuates often. But okay, anyway. So the Vechein Hashar and the Mishnah says, and that's the rate. So amdu chitim b'lam dinarim, and now you made a purchase on the wheat. Now, what's very important over here in the Mishnah is that you made the purchase of the wheat. You didn't actually take the wheat yet. In other words, so this is basically a forward contract. And you lay out the money in order to buy the wheat, but you don't actually take the wheat in yet. And then what happens is, now the wheat goes up to 30 dinarim. So it goes up significantly in value from 25 silver dinarim to 30 silver dinarim. Amar lo, ten lichitai. So now you say, I'm now ready to take my wheat. Now at this point in time, you're perfectly entitled to take your wheat. You already laid down the money in order to buy the wheat. So you're perfectly entitled to take it. And the fact that it went up in value, there's no problem with that whatsoever, meaning you already bought it. The wheat is already yours. So Shani wrote to Lamochran, Velikach Bemyain. And you tell the seller, and look, here's my intention. I want the wheat right now because wheat's right now, I'm in a great position in wheat. And basically what I'd like to do is I'd like to buy the wheat so I can then turn around and trade it for wine. So that's what you tell the buyer tells the seller. And Amar lo, harichi tach asur salai b'shoshim, v'arei lecha etzli behem yayin. So the seller says to the buyer, well, why don't we do the following? Meaning, right now, I owe you 30 sela worth of wheat. Meaning, that's how much I owe you right now. And why don't we do the following? Why don't we convert that into an obligation? And furthermore, I'm going to be on the hook to give you 30 sela worth of wine. Now, the Mishnah finishes off with one important detail. Ein lo. But at the time, though, the seller does not have any wine on his possession. So the Mishnah says, under those circumstances, now, there's one word in the Mishnah which either is missing or implied, but either way, the Mishnah concludes by saying, or implies by saying, aser, meaning, of course it's aser, because the Mishnah is giving an example of ribbis derabbanan. So if it's ribbis derabbanan, obviously the conclusion is going to be aser. Okay, so what do we see back in the Mishnah? A scenario in which there's a forward contract, and now what you want to do is you want to take that money that he owes you. Well, actually, he doesn't owe you money. He owes you wheat. And you want to take that now and convert that into debt, and convert that debt into another commodity. So the Mishnah says that Under certain circumstances, it would be okay. But in the scenario in which the seller does not have the wine currently on his possession, so then it would not be okay. That's the simple and seemingly and the simple pshat of the Mishnah. Okay. With that stated, we are ready to start with the Gemara. We are on Samach Beis Amud Beis. We are at the two dots. V'chi ein lo yayin mai have. So the Gemara says, so let's now learn, let's observe what we just learned together in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says it's because the seller doesn't have any wine on him, and so therefore, as a result of that, it's going to be problematic. He can't do it. So the Gemara says, Vahatanya, the Gemara says, but I will say this. We have the following brisa, which is, in poskin ala peres achiyetze ashar. So the brisa says that you cannot make a forward contract, give money to a seller, having you selling an item. You're not going to take the item right now. You're just simply contracting to buy it, and part of the contracted deal is that you're giving him money. So the brisa says that you can't do that achiyetze ashar until the market value is set. Now, what's very clear from the brisa, and the Gemara spells it out, yatsa ashar poskin afa pishein lazeh, yesh lazeh. Once the market value is set, so now we're okay.
Amen.
Now we'll be fine. Because the brisa actually, the Gemara clarifies the point. Afa pishein lazeh, yesh lazeh. Once the market is set, so therefore, it's easily obtainable. And so now, let's say I contract with somebody, and I give him money, and I say, I'd like to buy wheat from you. And yatsa ashar. And the market value is very clear in terms of what it is. So now, I give him the money, now we're good. Why are we good? Because even though I didn't take the item yet, but because the market value is out there, so what I can do is, or I should say, what he can do is, he can easily obtain it from somebody else. So, it's as if, basically, he has it already, and it's as if I paid for it already. And so, therefore, under those circumstances, it would be fine. So, here's what the Gemara is bothered by. Look, let's go back to our Mishnah. Let's review what we learned back in our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, basically, it's a forward contract. In our Mishnah, so the person gives money for wheat. And Yatsa Hashar, and the Mishnah actually says that the market value was set. And so, he gave him a golden coin in order to buy wheat. The wheat at the time of the purchase was worth 25. So, everything is fine. So, he paid for the wheat, even though he didn't take the wheat yet. And it's just a simple forward contract, and he'll collect the wheat at a later point in time. Now, the wheat went up in value. So the wheat went up in value now to 30. And now he's basically asking you for his wheat, which he's perfectly entitled to do. And even though it went up in value, but again, at the time when he paid for the wheat, the market value was already fixed. So there should be no problem. And all the Mishnah wanted to do now was just simply take that wheat that he owed him and rolled it over into another commodity. And we're going to assume that other commodity, which happens to be wine, the price was fixed for that as well. Now, the Mishnah doesn't say that, but let's assume that that's so. And if we're going to assume that that's so then what's the issue? So then why in the Mishnah would the Mishnah have a problem of taking the debt, which is wheat, and just simply rolling it over into wine? Converting the debt of wheat into wine. As long as the price is fixed, isn't it okay? Why should that be a problem? So that's really the question that the Gemara has in the Mishnah. And from this point going forward, for a good part of today, we're going to try to respond to this question. So, we're going to have three different attempts of explaining our Mishnah and why our Mishnah presents a problem when seemingly there should be no problem. So I'm a Rabbah. So here we go now with attempt number one, and that is Rabbah. So Rabbah suggests that really the problem in the Mishnah is that what's happening is that you want to basically buy something with debt. And the Gemara says, and that's going to be a problem, Kiditanya. And let's take a look at the following Braisa. So let's say a person owes me a certain amount of money. Oh, money. He owes me $100. And I'm sitting there in his granary, and we're striking up a nice conversation, but ultimately, when all said and done, hey, you owe me the money, can you pay me the money? And by the way, just, you know, as long as we're having not so casual conversation, you know, I want my money because I want to buy wheat. So Amar lo chitim yeshli shani nosin lach seva aseh alai kishar shachshav. So the borrower says to me, okay, look, you want to buy wheat? Okay, look, I don't have your money, but I do have wheat. So look, there's a fixed price for wheat right now. So why don't we just simply assess how much wheat is equivalent to the debt? And now I'm going to be in debt to you to pay for your for my loan with my wheat. And I'll just simply pay you over time. So once again, basically, we're taking a debt, and now we're rolling it over into a commodity, so that the commodity will become the satisfaction of the debt. So far, so good. So Asur, the Braisa says no, but it's not okay. The Lav Kisura Baliado Dame, because what you can't do is that you can't roll over debt into a commodity if you're not giving the money over at the time. Meaning, if you want to make a forward contract and you want to give them money for commodity, and even if you're not going to take the commodity immediately, and even if it's going to be paid out over the course of time, that's okay. Why is that okay? Because again, going back to the premise that Yatsa Hashar, that as long as the market value is fixed for how much the commodity is worth, so basically what I'm doing is I'm giving him the money, and look, now that he has the money in his hands, if he wants to buy the product right now, that's fine. If he doesn't want to buy the product right now, that's his prerogative. But in other words, I gave him the money in which to do so. In our case over here, in the Bryce's case, I should say better, what he has right now is he doesn't have cash. What he has right now is debt. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to roll over that debt into the purchase of a commodity. To this Braisa that's being quoted by Rabbah, the Braisa says you can't do that. Why can't you do that? Because I'm not giving him cash right now. I already gave him the cash earlier as a loan. What happened to the money? Well, what usually happens to money when it's loaned out? It's spent. So right now, all I have right now is debt, and I want to make a purchase with debt. So to that, the Braisa says, even though the market value is fixed, you cannot do that. You can't buy a commodity using debt. And the reason is because since I'm not giving him the cash right now, since I already gave him the cash, we now look at the possibility of this resembles interest. Because what happened? Let's take the greater picture of what happened. What happened was I loaned the money a while ago. Now what happens is he's going to pay me back. He's going to pay me back with commodity. The price of the commodity may come out to be more than what I lent him. So mechzei karibis, so this looks like interest. That is the braisa as related to by Rabbah. So fine. And now with that model in mind, now we go back to our Mishnah, and the Gemara says, and this would now be the pshat in our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, what happened? The person made a purchase. Now I understand the Mishnah is not talking about a loan. I get that part. But the guy made a purchase. He purchased wheat using a forward contract. Now wheat was owed to him. And now what we wanted to do is, he goes over to the borrower and he says to the borrower, I'm sorry, he's not a borrower. He says to the seller, now new, I'm ready to take my wheat. And the seller says, well, look, right now, why don't we do the following? Why don't we roll that over into another commodity? So basically what he wants to do is he owes wheat. He would like to now roll that over into another commodity based on the braisa that was just quoted by Rabbah. So you can't do that. You can't purchase something with debt. You could purchase something with cash, but you can't purchase something with debt. That is, right now, the assumed pshat in the Mishnah as offered by Rabbah. So the Gemara says, well, if that's true, so then there's one sticking point to the Mishnah. And it's a big sticking point. You see, in the Mishnah makes a big distinction as to whether or not the seller has the wine currently on his possession, or he does not have wine currently on his possession. And the Mishnah, its very clear implication is the following. If the seller has wine currently on his possession, that's what we're going to call from this point going forward, yeshlo. So then it would be okay. So then you could roll over the obligation from wheat into wine. But if he doesn't have wine currently in his possession, so then it would be aser. That's the simple pshat in the Mishnah. According to you, Rabbah, that should have no bearing whatsoever on the question of whether it's permitted or not permitted. Because according to you, Rabbah, what's your position? Your position is you can't buy using debt. You can't buy commodity using debt. That's your understanding of the Mishnah. If that's true, what difference does it make whether the seller has the wine on his possession or he doesn't? according to you, once there is debt, once there is obligation, I can't buy commodity with it, for it may end up looking like interest. It's mechzik haribis. So that's a problem. Why would the Mishnah seem to indicate that everything should be predicated on whether or not the seller does or does not have the wine? So Allah Rabbi Masisin Kidnirav Safra, Beribis de Bay Rebbe Chia. So Abai is going to give his own pshat. Now, before Abai says pshat in the Mishnah, so first we're going to learn together a braisa that was taught by Rav Safra. Didni Rav Safra beribis debei Rebbe Chia. Now, Rav Safra taught the following braisa. It was based on the laws of ribis as taught by Rebbe Chia, and it goes like this: Yesh dvarim sheim mutarim v'asurim mimnei haramas ribis. Now, there are things which are inherently fine, but it looks like ribis, and therefore it's going to be prohibited. Ketzad. So let's go over an example of that. Amarle halveni mana. So the person says to another, can you lend me $100? Amarlo, mana ain li, chitim b'mana yesh li. So shani no sein lach. So he says, look, right now, I don't have $100 to lend you, but what I do have is I have wheat. And the and what we'll do is we'll just simply mass together wheat equivalent to the loan of $100. And I'll give you the wheat. So nasa lo chitim b'mana. So what he did is that the lender now gives to the borrower $100. I'll just call it dollars. $100 worth of wheat. Okay. V'chazar ve'elacha mimenu heimenu be'esrim v'arba sela. And now what he did immediately after he lent that wheat is he bought it back from him. Now, what he did is he bought it back for him at a discount. Now, in other words, this is just a simple transaction. Meaning, even though if he waited till market day, he could have easily collected 25 dinarim for the wheat that he just got. But he, I'm sorry, 25 salim. But the he could have waited and gotten that because that's how much the wheat was actually worth on market day. But he really needed the money right now, so therefore he sold it for 24. So, in principle, now mutter. So this kind of transaction is permissible. However, asol asos kemimnei haramas ribis. However, it does smack of ribis. Meaning, let's think about it from the lender standpoint. Meaning, from the lender standpoint, what did he just do? He lent. Now, how much did he lend? So he didn't have cash on him, so he lent using a commodity. Now it happens to be that after that money was lent to him, now think about it from the borrower's perspective. He could sell the wheat to whomever he wants, meaning it's his right now, meaning he borrowed it, obviously with an obligation to pay back the debt, but right now the borrower could have sold it to whomever he wants. It happens to be that he turned around and he sold it right back to the lender. But that's really a separate transaction, in theory. Not even in theory. We could say it better. It's a separate transaction. And so now, what he and the fact that he sold it on the cheap, again, that's his prerogative. He had the right to do that. But still, when all is said and done, now the borrower still owes the lender the money, meaning the fact that he now has 24 salayim, that was great. That was based on the transaction that he made. So right now, he still owes the money. So now, in theory, what he could do, I'm sorry, all this would be in theory fine. The problem is, it really smacks a ribbis. Because again, let's take a look at the bigger picture. In the bigger picture, what just happened? What just happened is that I know a guy that really needs some help. He needs money quickly. So what did I do? So basically, I gave him 20. In other words, again, I'm just looking at the sum total of the picture. I gave him 24, and he gave me 25. That's effectively what just happened over here. Now again, that's not really what happened over here. Really what happened over here is he wanted a loan. I gave him 25 salim worth of wheat. He then, on his own, made a business decision that he was going to sell it. Granted, he was going to sell for 24, and granted, he sold it back to me. But okay, but in other words, that's a business decision. So if we broke it down, each step by itself is fine. But in the sum total of what happened was, is that basically, I gave him 24, and in return I got 25. Okay. So it's mechzei karibis. So therefore, or I should say, the Gemara's here terminology is haramas ribis, right? It's a ruse in order to basically allow ribis to occur. So hachinami. So Abai says, so once we have that in place, this basic idea in place, in that, in the, if you look at the net gain, where the lender basically got more than what he gave. So if that's true, so now what we're going to do is we're going to construct a case in our Mishnah in which basically it's going to resemble exactly what we just laid out. Now, admittedly, this next part of the Gemara is perhaps for today the most difficult part. Because now what we're going to do is we're going to basically reconstruct our Mishnah so that it looks very similar to the case that we just laid down. Now, in order for this to happen, there has to be a number more steps in the Mishnah. Meaning, because the Mishnah right now is terribly incomplete if we're going to try to make our Mishnah look like the case that was taught to us by Rav Safra. So, hachinami kigon. So, here's what we're going to do now. We're going to add a number of steps in the Mishnah. I have it, I broke it down. And so, basically, I have it down to five simple steps. Now, I'm being super sarcastic when I say five simple steps. It's not simple. But once you take the step by step, then, and you add all these cases, all these steps into the Mishnah, so then the Mishnah is going to look like Rav Safra, and that's why it's going to be prohibited. So keep going. So here we go. Step one. Step number one is where the potential buyer says to the lender, could you lend me 30 dinarim? 30 silver coins. So step number two. Lender says to the borrower, look, sorry, I don't have $30 in cash, but I have $30 worth of wheat. So shani no sin lacha. So now it's lochita m'shoshin dinarim. So then what happens is that the lender gives to the borrower $30 worth of wheat. V'chazav alacham heimenu b'dinar zahav. And then what he does is he buys it back from him. Now remember, now it resembles like the case of Rav Safra, where you buy it back now and you buy it back on the cheap. You buy it back for $25. Now, it's the wheat itself really is worth $30. And again, like I said back in Rav Safra, if you waited to market day, you could have easily fetched $30 for the wheat. But right now, this person was desperate, so he sold it for $25. So v'lachem heimenu b'dinar zahav. So he bought it now for dinar zahav, he bought it for $25. Iisle chamer lalo. Now, if at the time, let's say the borrower had actually had wine on him, that he could have given to him for 30 dinar,
borrower or lender?
Borrower
or lender? Who's got the wine?
The bar right now. If the borrower has wine on his possession, so peruhu dekashakal minei, so that means that he's going to now be able to give him the fruit. V'leislamban, there would be no problem. V'ilo, but if not, meaning if he doesn't have the wine currently on his possession, kevin deleisechamra, vaday mishkal zuze minei, so then what he would be doing is he would be taking money from him, and mechzei karibis, and now it looks like ribis. It looks like interest. Because again, when you look at the sum total, what just happened again, from a summary standpoint, what happened is that basically the lender gave him 25 and got basically in its place 30. Now again, step by step, that's not what happened. Step by step, it was every step in of itself was perfectly legitimate. But again, when you're looking at it from a summary standpoint, so basically he gave him 25 and he got back in response 30. So again, it's mechzei karibis. It looks like ribis.
What is the bottom? What is the bottom of the game by doing that? You need some money to lend me 30, right?
Right.
And then he gives it back for 25. What did he get? What did he? He needs the money to do something. What did he gain by doing that?
He borrowed money, right?
He borrowed 25.
But he gave it right back for 20. He bought it right back.
In other words,
he
lost $5. But what he gained was immediate use of money, meaning he needed money right now. That's what every borrower needs. In other words, he needed
immediately.
Right, correct, absolutely right. In other words, he needed instant access to money.
He owes 30, even though he only got 25.
Okay, now Amalei Ravi Achi. Now, okay, fine. So this is all going to be the pshat in the Mishnah. Now, please understand. Okay, again, I have it down over here as five separate steps. So, and let me just go over now the five steps according to Abaye one more time. We start in the Gemara, but let's just lay it out. One, the borrower says, "Lend me $30." Two, the lender says, "Look, I don't have $30, but I do have $30 worth of wheat." Three, the lender lends the wheat to the borrower, but buys it back now at $25. So four, he's now going to demand payback for the loan because he wants to buy wine. And five, the borrower states that, "Look, I know I owe you the money, and I'm ready to convert the $30 of wheat into wine, and it would only work if he currently has wine in his possession. If not, so then you can't do it because it mechzik ribbis, it looks like ribbis." Now, all this is wonderful, but if you try to fit it back into the Mishnah, all this does not really work out. Well, let's put it this way. If you go back to the Mishnah, so first of all, the Mishnah, I mean, in the way Abaye sets it up, it starts off with a loan. If you look back in the Mishnah has it starting off as a purchase. Laka chemenu, I'm reading back in the Mishnah. Laka chemenu chitim bediner zahav. You actually purchased wheat for dinar zahav, which is 25 silver dinarim. So hakor v'chein ashar. And then it goes up in value and et cetera, et cetera. But in other words, in order for all this to fit into the Mishnah, essentially what you have to do is you have to understand that steps 1 and 2 actually are not listed in the Mishnah. They're kind of, they're not even implied. Meaning you're going to have to assume that that happened beforehand. In other words, in the Mishnah is basically bringing us in to the middle of this transaction. Okay, and that's one issue, which, again, the Gemara doesn't even address. You have to say that, otherwise there's no way a buy can fit into the Mishnah. And then just the terminology used in the Mishnah doesn't seem to even acknowledge that there was an earlier history. And this is exact. And so really, when all said and done, Abaye's pshat is very difficult. Amalei Rava, and we're going to go over this over these points of the Gemara right now. So Amalei Rava Yachi Ten Lichiti Demechiti Mibayilei. So first of all, in the Mishnah says that he comes and he's demanding his wheat. So he's not really demanding his wheat. What he's demanding, he already bought the wheat. Right. So what he wants is demechita. He wants the value of the wheat. So tini demechita. So Abaye says to Rava, okay. So in other words, that really bothers you. So either edit the Mishnah, or when you read the Mishnah, that's how you're going to understand the Mishnah. And Shani Mochran, and he says that I want to sell Shemachatim Lach Mibayle. What do you mean? He already bought it. So Tanisha Mechatim Lach. And again, Abaye says, fine, that's the problem. So we'll edit the Mishnah, or again, same thing, we'll just understand the Mishnah that way. And Harei Chitecha, Suyas Alai B'Shoshin Dinarim, and he says that the wheat was going to be assessed at 30 dinarim, Mikarinami Hachi Ukimne Ilave. The way Abaye sets it up, from the very origination, the wheat was valued at 30. This was not a new phenomena. That's how much of the wheat was worth originally. So Hachi Kamerle. So again, the Gemara in defense of Abaye says, "B'demei chitim she'asisi alach b'shloshim dinar harei lachas li behem yayin v'yayin ein lo." So the Gemara says again, we're going to understand the brisa that way. That basically, when he says, "Let's assess the wheat for 30," that was originally assessed for 30. The Gemara says, "V'habedinar zahav hakor v'chena sha'ar." The Gemara says, "Yeah, but look at the Mishnah again." The Mishnah says that the original value of the wheat was 25 silver dinarim, and that was the going rate at the origination, not 30 as Abaye explains. So, Ella Amarava. So, for these reasons, and there are a lot of them, for these reasons, so Rava says, no, that's not the pshat in the Mishnah. And so now, what we're going to have this morning is a third attempt at pshat in the Mishnah. Again. Let's regroup. Let's understand what we're trying to attack over here. The Mishnah has a scenario in which there was a forward contract where the buyer gives money to the seller and says, "I want to buy the wheat from you." There was a market. There was a fixed market value to the wheat. Let's assume that the fixed market value was 25, because that's really what the Mishnah says. The fixed market value was 25. Then what happens is that the wheat goes up now to 30. So the buyer says to the seller, "Okay, I'm ready now to collect my wheat." It went up in value, but the Mishnah did not have any problem with that whatsoever, and you just wanted to roll that over now into wine, and the Mishnah makes a statement, well, you can't do that because the seller currently does not have wine. And what bothered us from the very beginning of this morning is the following, is that is basically you're buying a commodity with debt. And we learned, and that was the opening of the Gemara. The Gemara says that you're not allowed to buy with debt. Ain poskin al perasach. I'm sorry. Vatanya ain poskin. Ain poskin ala peras. I'm reading the brace in the beginning of today's of where we started today. Ain poskin al perasach yesa shar yesa shar poskin al pi alpha pi she ain laze yesh laze.
Right.
So the. And from the Braisa, would seem to indicate that as long as there's a market value, as long as the market value is fixed, so then you could buy. So Ella Amarava. So Rava says like this. Now this is our third explanation of the Mishnah. Kishachimna Rabbi Oshia Nafik Lavasi. An expression that we saw at the end of Baba Kama, we get to see it again. And that is Rava says that I know that after I die, Rav Oshia is going to come out to greet me. Why? Rav Oshia is one of my biggest fans. Because when I learn Mishnayos, I have a tendency to explain the Mishnayos using Rav Oshia's Brisas. And so I feel that they always complement one another. So Rashi says on the top of Samach Gimel Amud Aleph, Shani Ragal Ataritz Mishnayos Shistam Rebbe Kebrisa Shistam Hu Dekavasei Amar Rava Bagoza Basra. Okay, I feel that. The proper way to understand Mishnayos is using the context, the lens, so to say, of Rabbi Oshia's braces, and it goes like this. Didni Rabbi Oshia. Hare Shaya Nosha Bechaver Amar Nevahalach V'Amar Al Gro No V'Amar Lo Tein Li Maus Hashani Rotzei Lekach Mem Chitim. So here now we have the brace of Rabbi Oshia, and the brace of Rabbi Oshia starts with debt. And so the lender says to the borrower, after lending him a certain amount of money, $100. And so the lender says to the borrower as he's standing in his granary, okay, I'm looking forward to getting paid right now. And he says to him, and the reason why I want to get paid is because I want to buy wheat. So the borrower says to the lender, okay, look, you want to buy wheat? Well, okay, look, I have wheat. You're standing in my granary right now. So why don't we do the following? Why don't we just simply satisfy the debt using the wheat that I currently have? And there's a fixed market to the wheat. So in other words, there's an undisputed price to what the wheat is worth. So now what we'll do is we'll simply roll over the debt into commodity. And now the commodity of wheat is going to be used as satisfaction of the debt. Now... he gives manchitim limkor. Now at this point in time, yet the lender didn't even take the wheat, meaning even though they took the debt and they rolled it over into wheat, but basically they used the money, the debt, I should say, as a form of payment for the wheat, even though he didn't actually take the wheat as of yet. Fine. Amar lo tein li chitim shani rotzeh lemochem v'lakach bem yain. So now in this brisa, the story continues, where now I'll call him the lender because that's what he was originally, although at this point in time, he's more like a buyer, but I'll just keep calling him the lender. So the lender now goes over to the borrower, and he says to the borrower, look, I want my wheat right now because now is a great time to sell. Amar lo yesh li yayin, shani nosin lach. Let me spell this out. And the reason why I want the wheat right now is because I want to buy the wheat and I want to sell the wheat and I want to buy wine. And the borrower says, Amar lo yesh li yayin, shani nosin lach, seva asana lai kishar shal achshav. So now the borrower says, look, is that what you want to do? I've got wine. So why don't we do the following? So let's now roll over the wheat into wine. Convert the wheat to wine. So he gives man yain limkor va'amar lo tein li yeni shani rotzeh lemochem v'lekach bo shemen. The time for selling of the wine has arrived, and now the lender says to the borrower, good, let me have my wine because I want to buy oil. Right now is a great time to buy oil. Great buying opportunity. And the borrower says to the lender, really, that's what you want to do? I've got oil. So now let's roll that over into oil. Amalo Shemin Yeshli Shani Nosin Lach Seva Su'a Laika Shar Shal Achshav. Kulam. Now here, the Braisa says, so basically, we took debt, we rolled it over into wheat. We took wheat, we rolled it over into wine. We took wine, we rolled it over into oil. And on all this, Rav Oshia's Braisa says, it's all legitimate, it's all fine. And the Braisa says, these are the key words of the Braisa Kulam. Im yeshlo mutter. Ain lo usser. So the Braisa says that as long as the borrower has all these commodities on his possession, at the time it would be fine, otherwise it would be prohibited. Okay, now, a couple things to go over at this point in time. So basically what we learned together in this Braisa Rav Oshia is that I can take debt and roll it over into commodity and keep rolling it over from one commodity to another as long as the person has it. Once we know Rav Oshia's Braisa, so now good. We have beautiful pshat in the Mishnah, meaning that's exactly what the Mishnah just told us. Meaning the Mishnah says that the person buys wheat and he buys it at a fixed value and it's a forward contract, which means that he doesn't take the wheat. The wheat is still being held by the seller. And now the Mishnah says that if you want to roll it into other commodities, you may do so, provided that the seller has those commodities on his person. So now we have a Mishnah, we have the Braisa of Rav Oshia, Rava says, and we have pshat. Now, let's go over Rashi. Rashi writes as follows. Rashi is found four lines from the top of the Amud. Yesh lo mutter. V'lo amrina delav ki sura habaliyado hecha di yesh lo. Now, remember what we learned earlier, and this was Abai's objection. Abai's objection is that you want to make a forward contract, so you can make a forward contract, but you have to hand the person money. It will be unacceptable to make a purchase on a future if you don't give the person actual money at that point in time. That's what that Abai quoted a Bryce earlier that said that was so. So over here, that's not what's happening. Meaning over here in Rav Oshia's Braisa and in our explanation of the Mishnah, he keeps buying with debt. In other words, he uses the debt to buy the wheat. He uses the obligation of wheat to buy the wine. He uses the obligation of wine to buy the oil, and you keep buying with debt. And so, right, and exactly. And where's the money? And so Rashi says over here it's okay. And the reason why it's okay is as follows. So Rashi over here writes as follows. That even though the buyer did not do Mashicha, now remember, we've discussed this at length in the fourth parak of Bava Metzia, is that in order for a transaction to finalize, so the buyer needs to do Mashicha. Prior to that point in time, the transaction has not been finalized. And over here, when he bought the wheat, he didn't do Mashicha, the wheat was still by the seller. And when you rolled it over into wine, still same story. And when you rolled it over into oil, still same story. But Rashi now is going to make the following argument. And you have to make this argument in order to understand what's going on over here. Hoel, the imbalachzor, kayalayu b'misha para. But remember what we learned together back in the fourth parak. That even though you didn't do Mashicha, but right now money was given. And since money was given, so it's true the parties can back out of the transaction, subject to a curse of Misha Parah. Meaning once you contracted to buy something, and once you handed the money, so now, and if either party were to pull out, so now you are subject to the Misha Parah. So that is good enough, says Rashi, so that allows us to view this as a done deal. A done deal so far as to say that the buyer is now the owner of the product, the owner of the commodity. Now, it's interesting. In other words, right. And any increase in its value, it belongs to him. Now, again, by the way, what Rashi's doing, it's a little bit tricky, but you have to say this. In other words, even though the transaction is not finalized, and even though either party really has the right to pull out, but since it's subject to a curse to pull out, subject to the curse of Misha Parah, we're going to view it as if the transaction is completed enough so as to say that if the commodity goes up, it's the buyer's increase. It's in the buyer's possession.
Is there a separate act of kinyan for each transaction? The kinyan is there for each transaction?
Well, again, the original transaction was the money that you gave.
Yeah,
I mean, it was a loan, but in other words, that was the original transaction. And you just keep rolling it over. Umiyu. But Rashi continues. Hecha de'ein lo, lav kisura bal yadohu, de'hecha de'ayiv le'zuze posek, v'afagav she'ein lo di'achol zeh laknos b'ma'os shekibol de'chite mitzuyin lo, hol v'yatzar ashar. Aval zeh ein b'yadoh b'ma yikne v'dami l'ribis. But Rashi says, but over here, this is why Yeshlo is so critical and so important. Because, says Rashi. Let's consider that if we're talking about a scenario in which you keep buying with debt, you're allowed to buy with debt, but only if the seller has the commodity on his person. Because if the commodity doesn't, I'm sorry, if the seller doesn't have the commodity on his person, so then we only say that it's acceptable if you're giving him the money right there and then. Because that gives him the ability to buy it
buy somewhere else
from wherever he wants. But if there is no money given at the time, and you're only buying with debt, and there is no the seller does not have the commodity on his person, now basically what's happening is as follows: I loaned the money some time ago. I'm going to get paid at a future time with commodity that may be greater than the money that I lent him. Merce caribis. It looks like interest. Even though, of course, it's not interest. In other words, it's not a loan. In other words, it's a purchase. But because I'm purchasing with debt, and because he does not have the commodity on him at the time, and because I didn't give him money at the time of this future of this forward contract, so therefore, merce caribis, it looks like ribis. This is Rav Oshia. This is what Rav Oshia is teaching us. And now Rava says, now if we fully understand and comprehend what Rav Oshia is teaching us, that's a pshat in the Braisa. Okay. Now, the next four words of the Gemara, umay lakach lakach ba'avaso, so Rashi makes a case, a very strong case, that these words do not belong in the Gemara. I'm going to follow Rashi's lead. I'm going to skip those words of the Gemara, and I'm going to move on to the words Amarava. Okay. See Rashi for his case that these words really don't belong here. Okay. Amarava. Shmami nami de Rav Oshia tla. So the Gemara says, so now, after having learned the Braisa of Rav Oshia together, so the Gemara says, so let's summarize the points that we just learned together. Shmamina, ma'amida ma'ava agabe peres v'lo armina d'lau kisura baliyadahu. So, point number one is that if you want to take a loan and you want to take that obligation, that debt, and you want to buy something with debt, so you're allowed to buy something with debt provided that it's on his possession. Two, shmamina hu diyeshlo, Shmaminahu diyeshlo. And number two, that you can buy with debt, but only if the seller has the goods on him. Ushmamina isa l'derab yanai. And the Gemara says, and there's a third thing to consider as well that we learned from the Braisa of Rav Oshia, and that's the following: Da'am rav yanai mali hein mali demehem. And also, let's consider the following. When you bought with debt, so let's go over that first transaction, meaning you lent the money. So now he owes you the money. And so now what you want to do is you want to take that debt and you want to buy with debt. So what do you want to buy with debt? You want to buy wheat. Okay, great. Now what happened? Now you want to collect your wheat. And you say to him, I'd like to take my wheat back. So remember now, he owes you wheat because that's what you bought with the debt. And you want to now take that wheat and roll it over into wine. So Rav Oshia's Braisa says you could do that provided that he has the wine on him. So basically now, even though what he owes you is wheat, mali hein mali demehem. In other words, it's not really the wheat, it's wheat or it's wheat value. So basically now what you could do is you could take that and you can roll that over into another commodity. And you see that can be done again. So there really is no difference when you're buying with debt and he owes you. You don't need to receive the actual product itself. You can receive the product or you can receive its monetary equivalency as payment. And the Gemara points out, and this fits in with the position of Rabbi Yanai. Da'am Rabbi Yanai mali hein mali demehen. Rabbi Yanai says that when you get paid back, you don't have to get paid back with the commodity. You can get paid back with the commodity or its monetary equivalency. De'itmar, the Gemara points out, the statement to Rabbi Yanai is subject to a debate. De'itmar, Rav Amar, osin amana beperes, rein osin amana bedamim. Rav says that if you want to If you want to buy on faith, as it relates to peiros, to fruit, so you may do so. But you cannot do so bedamim. You cannot do so with money. Meaning, Rashi. Osim amana beperos. No, osim maus baamana kishar shal achshav shiyotze b'shuk. Amana zekabla peros afilo yokir and chitin. So, if you want to make a forward contract on fruit, you may do so. And even though the value of it is going to go up, that's fine. However, says Rashi, eno sin amana livsok ala peros kedele kabel damim lekishiyokiru. However, if you want to make a future contract on the fruit, and then instead of receiving the fruit at a later point in time, you want to receive its monetary value, that you cannot do, says Rav. Why? Because Kevin does zuzei yav zuzei shakel machzik ribisik. Because what did you do? You gave money, you got money back. You gave a little bit of money, you got a lot of money back. Now again, it's a sale, it's not a loan, but still, it looks like ribis. You gave $10, you got back $12. Right, assuming that the value went up. So, and you didn't get the fruit, so Rav says you're not allowed to do that. And Rav Yanai Omer, sorry, yeah. Rav Yanai Amar Mali Hein Mali Demeyan. Rav Yanai says, what's the difference? Meaning, it's a sale, it's not a loan. You bought the fruit. Now granted, you bought the fruit on a forward contract. So you're not getting the fruit right away. But still, you paid for the fruit. Yatsa Ashar, the value of the fruit was known, so it was a given. And now, later on, you're going to get reimbursed. What difference does it make if you get reimbursed with fruit or the value of fruit? That's Rav Yanai's position. And the Gemara says, Meisvei, the Gemara challenges, because what did we just learn together in the Braisa? Kulam im yeshla mutter. That we learned together in the Braisa that as long as he has it on his possession, you could take the debt and you can turn the debt into wheat, into wine, into oil. You can keep turning it over. And basically, you don't have to get paid back in wheat. You can get paid back in value. You could turn the value around and simply buy something else with the value. So it sounds pretty clear from the Braisa that Rav Yanai is right. In fact, that's what the Gemara said just a moment ago. After having gone through the Braisa, the Gemara says one of the things you learn from the Braisa is Rav Yanai is right. That you don't have to get paid back with the actual commodity. You can assume its value and pay back with a value, or turn around and buy with that value another commodity. I'm Ravuna, I'm a Ravisha Mashach. So the Gemara says, well, I don't necessarily think the Bryce is really supportive of Rav Yanai. What the Bryce could be talking about a case is where the buyer actually did Mashiach on the fruit. The Gemara says, really? Really? Ibisha Mashach Srich Lamemar? So the Gemara says, well then, do you know what the Bryce is coming to teach us? Nothing. Nothing. In other words, right? In other words, I have debt, fine. So what I do is I buy wheat. Okay, and I take the wheat. And I give him back the wheat, and then I exchange the wheat for. So basically, we learn nothing together in the Braisa. If you're telling me that I could use the debt to buy wheat, use the value of the wheat to buy wine, use the value of the wine to buy oil, now we have a chiddush on our hands, and specifically the chiddush of Rav Yanai, that when you make a future contract, you don't have to get the actual commodity, you can get the value of the commodity. So that's a chiddush. But if you're telling me that Mashiach is being done, there's no chiddush whatsoever in the Braisa. We're just talking about buying and selling. I don't need a Bryson to teach me about buying and selling. So the Gemara says, well, maybe no Mashiach was done, but what we did is we specified a specific place in the store in which to hold it for me. It's kind of like Kinyan Chatzir. Right, and even it's not. I didn't rent out the space, by the way. In other words, because then there would be no chiddush, because then it would be kinyan chatzer. But it's, in other words, just the fact that he put it in a specific location is enough for me to be considered as if I took it. Okay, Adkan. So where do we stand right now in the Gemara? So now we were looking for an explanation of the Mishnah, and basically after learning the bright, we went through this morning Rava's explanation, Abai's explanation, and finally Rava's explanation. And Rava's explanation is based on the Braisa Rav Oshia. And basically, what did we learn together in Rav Oshia's Braisa? Is that I can buy with debt. In other words, if somebody owes me money, and I would like to take that debt and roll it over, I may do so. But the only condition that I can buy something with debt is only if the person has that commodity on hand. And I not only that, by the way, but we can even go one step further. Not only can I buy with debt, but I can even when I don't need to get paid back with the actual commodity itself, I can get paid back with its value. I can even take that value, roll it over into another commodity, take it and roll it over into another commodity. That's the price of Rav Oshia. That's the pshat in our Mishnah. And all this presupposes, like the position Rav Yanai, which is that I can take a commodity. I can make a future contract on a commodity, and when getting paid, I don't have to get paid back with the commodity itself. I can get paid back with its value. Even though when all said and done, consider, I gave $10. I got back $15. It's like it's like basically buying a future and selling a future, and I'm not getting paid back with the commodity. So Rav Yana says that's fine. Mind you, Rav says it's not fine. Why? Because Rav says mechse karibis, because that looks like interest, as I'm giving money and I'm getting more money in exchange. Okay. Huh? Wait, hold on. We're too early. It's a fair question, just too early to ask that question. Okay, that's where we stand right now. Considering the price, and we now have an operating shop within our Mishnah and understanding our Mishnah, because our Mishnah is talking about buying now with debt, and you are allowed to buy with debt, but with the proviso of Yeshlo, that as long as he has the commodity on hand. Otherwise, if he doesn't, mechsek ribis, it looks like ribis. And now we have a working shot in our Mishnah.